Miriam.
Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov. Sorry, I called the wrong number.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Did you have a good day?
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, recuperating from this Mashiach.
I know what you mean. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Shavuot Tov.
Yeah. Hard not to say Chag Sameach.
Well, there's always another holiday, and next Monday there's another one. So we're in section 64 of Bereshit Bet on the Sulam commentary, and I believe we're doing it's 378. Is that correct?
Not a bad connection. Real bad. A lot of got it.
I'm getting it also.
Let me hang up and I'll try one more time. Hold on.
Anna, why don't you hang up and call back, because we weren't having the static till you called, and it's not your fault, but that's...
Hannah, is there?
Are you having some Hannah, Esther? Because they're going to be to hang up, and you don't.
Okay, we'll wait for you.
Okay.
Which was the lesson?
It's in the Sulam commentary, section 64, verse
378. Miranda.
Good evening. Shavuot Tov.
Hello. Shavuot Tov.
We're having a lot of static on the line, so hopefully it'll work tonight.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Okay, Hannah, again.
Is it still
Yes,
you still
it's
have
better.
It's better?
No, it's better.
Okay.
No, it's starting again.
Okay, let me hang up and see if that helps. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
I've returned. Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I guess my phone is the problem today. Okay, so we're on verse 378. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud. I'm sorry?
Is this the page that has all the Zohar? Or is it classes number?
On the mini Zohars, we don't have handouts. So to find where we're reading from, you have to go to the Kabbalah. Actually, you go to Zohar.com.
All right, I'll just listen.
Okay, but you can for the another class. You should register on that website, and once you do, you'll be able to see everything that we possibly could read.
Okay.
So, and there's no charge to register. There's no charge for the Zohar online like that.
Right.
L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Erchim Avud Hilu Avud Hilu Erchim Avud Leachta l'shem yudhei b'vavhei b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Elain Tirain Atvan, Ishtach Lelu, Beat Beit, Bekad Itchadar, Atvan Lemafreya, Min Yomad Ich Yelid, Shet Achadru Atvan, Bekol Dara Vidara, Ad Mate Israel, Litura de Sinai, Vitakanu. Rabbi Yossi said that because those two letters, the Shin and the Taf, were fully perfected by the letter Bet, they are now able to receive direct light at the giving of the Torah. Those letters began falling into their proper order on the day that Seth was born, not receiving light from above downward, but drawing only from below upward. This has remained the case in each and every generation, shining only upward, which is the light of Nefesh, until Israel reached Mount Sinai. Then the letters were fully corrected, because the letter Bet illuminated them from above downward, and they became Shabbat. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's like the Zohar knew we took a break and it came back and summarized for us what we had studied previously.
Yes.
And I suppose if we summarized, it would be that when Adam did Teshuvah, that drew the light from below upward, and when Bet came, then it was able to have the direct light coming down and able to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai. At least that's kind of what I get from it.
Anybody else have any comments? What we had studied before and what needs to be made clear today. What is direct light and what is returning light? Human activity creates returning light. And that is light that goes from below to above. Direct light comes from the flow of Shefa, from Hashem, from Bina, from the upper Sefirot, ultimately from Keter. Direct light is judgmental. Not really judgmental. Direct light is judgment. Returning light is mercy. Why would it be mercy if a human is the cause? But the Sefirot do not become complete until the direct light and the returning light unite. So what it's saying in this verse is that when Seth was born, his name was Shin Taf. It should have had a Yud within it. That's what we studied earlier. But he wasn't complete. It wasn't complete until the giving of the Torah. And what completed the name Seth was the Bet, which is the Keter of the Torah, because it's the first letter. And so when that direct light found all of the returning light from the human activity that took place prior to the giving of the Torah, that created the Shabbat, or co-created the Shabbat. Now, have I confused everybody, or should it, is it clear?
No, it's a good summary of returning in direct light.
Okay, verse 379. Amara bi Yehuda leta ta itadru we call dara vidara awa gag gafef alma biadvan vilamit yashvin bedu kaihu Chad ich Yahavat Oraita the Israel Itakan Kola Rabbi Elazar Omer Biome Enosh Hawo Hakimin Bene Nasha Bahma Biharshin Bekos Min Uhachmata Lemechetzar Lehele Ishmaya Vilawa Barnash Mioma Din Pak Adam Beginta de Eden Via Pekimea Achbeta de Tarpe Ilana dishtadal badeha adam Viteya veinun dinafku mineya Adyata enosh shavikula. Rabbi Yehuda said, they started to radiate again from above downward, which is the light of Ruach. Thus, he disagreed with Rabbi Yossi, who maintained that they only shone from below upward, which is the light of Nefesh, before the Torah was given. And in each and every generation before the giving of the Torah, the world was manipulating those two letters, and they could not settle in their appropriate place. Only when Torah was given to Israel was everything established. Rabbi Elazar said that at the time of Enosh, people were skilled in magic and divination and in the wisdom of controlling the heavenly forces, so that those forces should not have affected the world. When Adam left the Garden of Eden and brought out with him the wisdom of the fig leaves, which is witchcraft, there was no one to use this knowledge, because Adam, his wife, and all those born from them, until Enosh came, stayed clear of this knowledge and did not use it. Questions, comments, thoughts?
The light of Nefesh, is that the light of Nefesh, of Adam's Nefesh?
It's the light of Nefesh from the endless world, which is every human being.
Okay.
Which is also the light of Adam's Nefesh.
Mm-hmm. So Adam's Nefesh on down, we should really, is really what it's saying. Okay. All right, so, and the light of Ruach would be from the Bema. From above.
But what it's really saying that is in human beings until the Torah was given and after the sin of Adam, the only soul levels that were in human beings was that of the Nefesh. But it's akin to that. It's not a clear statement.
This idea of the wisdom of the fig leaves being witchcraft. Well, I don't think I ever heard that before. You know, witchcraft being called wisdom of the fig leaves.
Well, the fig leaves are, first off, we're looking at an English translation. So I would expect that the fig leaves are the what is in the Hebrew describing that God made clothing for Adam and Eve so they were no longer naked.
Okay.
And that clothing, which is unnecessary if you're pure and innocent, is witchcraft. And what is witchcraft? It's utilizing the spiritual system for selfish reasons. Now, I'm sure you haven't heard it quite that defined that way before.
No, but I think in past lessons we did see the fig, a symbol of the negative God. So that came back to me.
Right. But here we're getting told, I think for the first time in the Zohar, we're being told also that Enosh, which is the son of Seth, or it may be the grandson of Seth, I forget the lineage, but that the generation of Enosh was started to corrupt the spiritual system, because they started to worship the stars. And we had read earlier in Bereshit, it had said that in Enosh's generation, they would say thank you to the sun who delivered, the warmth. And they would also say thank you to God in the same way. And that by that third generation or fourth generation, the appreciation was no longer directed to Hashem. It was directed to the various entities, the stars and the planets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being hinted at in this verse as well.
Okay.
Should I go on?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Malka. You said that the fig leaf, metaphorically, was witchcraft, basically, the knowledge of witchcraft. But didn't Eve switch up the letters as well? I mean, when did she switch up the letters to cause evil to come in? Didn't she mess with the letters?
Everything is based on the letters. We think in pictures, but we speak in letters. And in the physical world, our words, which are letters, is manifestation, which is the malchut level of consciousness. And that's the physical world. So I might think in a picture, I might visualize a perfect sunset, and I can appreciate that God had created that perfect sunset. But nothing happens in this world until I say out loud, that is a beautiful sunset. You may have, I'm sure you've heard the question asked in modern science and in the physics. If you're walking if a tree falls in the forest, but no one is there to hear it, did the tree fall? Since this is the world of action, the tree doesn't fall until there is a human being who notices the sound. The fact that the tree is lying on the ground doesn't mean it fell. It takes a consciousness of a human being to manifest the falling of the tree. That's the teachings of modern science. It's also the teachings of Kabbalah. And it gets people very confused. Because, of course, the tree fell in the forest. Even if nobody's there, it fell. But both science and Kabbalah say, no, it didn't fall until it's manifested. And it's manifested when a human being takes cognitive notion of it and brings the thoughts down into manifestation. So, yes, Eve sinned. And she changed the letters around. But not until they were manifested with words did that happen. And what this verse is implying and hinting at is that once Adam did Teshuvah, and by assumption Eve did Teshuvah, they were thrust out of the Garden of Eden into the physical world, but they stayed clear of manipulating the letters until the generation of Enosh.
Okay.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
When you call me sir, I'm not sure.
I feel pushed away,
so it's fine, but you know, my name is Hanok, and I prefer to be called that.
Okay. I have another question before we move on. And you said with the Sabbath with Seth, Seth wasn't completed until the alphabet, the B, came into being. Okay. So could you say that given the Torah, which was, you know, at Mount Sinai, would that consider in a beginning? Is that also in a beginning? Would you say that's Bereshit?
If you look at the word Bereshit, Bet Reshit, the word in Hebrew for Reshit means beginning. So it clearly is, the giving of the Torah is a beginning. Is it a beginning prior to, you know, what took place before that, when Adam and Eve were created? Was that a beginning? The answer is yes. And that's why we have this discussion in earlier recordings that, you know, is it Bereshit, meaning in a beginning, or is it Bereshit, in the beginning? Was it the first beginning? And is there a first beginning? And the Kabbalah teaches, and the sages have taught, that every instant Hashem creates the world over again. And the creation of the world includes your memories, how you perceive what took place in your life. So you can remember something that happened when you were a child, but you don't really know if that truly occurred, because it could be in this beginning, in this universe that we're in for this instant, that's the memory Hashem wants you to have. And that's why it gets very confusing.
I think that concept is getting a little clearer for me. I always, you know, thought the creation of the world was the only beginning. But I'm coming to realize that's not, for myself, that's not the concept that I need to perceive.
The moment you were born, that is your beginning. And when you've gone through, as an example, 10,000 days, which is maybe you're 30 years old, I'm rounding things around. But at 30 years old, you also have a new beginning. Because at 30 years old in this lifetime, exactly the same things happen to you that took place in your previous lifetime at the age of 30 on that 10,000th day of your birth. And really, one of the ways of understanding what Hashem does in his creations is if I have a desire to control the world, and another human being has a desire to control the world, we both can't control the world. So Hashem has to balance and reconcile the two desires, because the fact that you have a desire, Hashem created you with that desire. And so he wants you to reveal the light that is associated with that desire. And if we have conflicts between myself and another human being, that has to be reconciled. And that's part of what Hashem does in his, as he recreates the universes every instant. And as I said, it gets confusing. And that's why mankind created computers, to be even more confusing. That's a joke, by the way.
I get bored.
Does anybody have any questions? Because we're essentially out of time. So we'll start next Monday with verse 380. And tonight's classes at the 7 p.m. West Coast time class will be questions and answers. And if nobody asks any questions for this particular week, we'll study the Omer in a deeper level. At 8:30 West Coast time, we will count the Omer. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have advanced reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our Zohar class. So I bid shalom to all of you and hope to see you in either later classes today or tomorrow.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.